What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to episode 121 of Cali Brick Click. Before we get into it, you can find this on all your podcasting platforms, Spotify, Apple Music. Isn't it coming to YouTube also?
Supposed to.
Something like that. As usual, we have the usual suspects, Claire and Shy.
Morning.
But today, we're going to get into a new guest, Amber Laya of Amber Laya Builds.
Hi.
Welcome. Welcome.
How's it going?
Good. Yeah, good. I'm excited.
Yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to get the whole breakdown. Also, shout out to that Darksaber in the back.
Thank you.
So, Amber Laya, thanks for coming on. Right quick, who are you?
So, I am Amber Laya from Amber Laya Builds. I am a recent addition to the AFOL community. It was one of those things where I knew how important it was for Lego, for a child, especially, you know, all of the different fine motor skills, the understanding of three-dimensional space, problem solving, things like that, that were so important for a child to understand, that, you know, I wanted my daughter immediately to get into Lego. And on her Lego journey, I started to get into Lego. So that's how I ended up being part of the community. I was like, wait, this is kind of fun. And then I saw Lego Masters and I was like, wait, you can do so much with this stuff. And I started on YouTube and went down the rabbit hole, and here I am.
So Lego Masters was another pull. See, it's
yes. Happening.
Lego Masters is doing
it's doing its job. Yeah.
It's doing its job,
to the community.
Yeah.
We didn't I feel like when it first came out, we didn't give it enough credit to the type of reach it's gonna give the community.
Families. Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people are like, this is a bad representation of AFOL, blah blah blah. And then like and then we kind of, you know, at the time or even till now, we kind of judge people like as like, you know, not like judge them like but like their type of like what they can do at a convention, you know, why like convention like them versus like us like influencers in general, like so it's cool to see the like receiving end of that, where you have all these cool people coming in like into the social media space who were influenced by
Well, we had there was one challenge where I think it was like you were making a windmill, right? And how to make it spin. And I think they did a whole thing with like how long could it last. But my daughter and I immediately went to her Legos and we built one. And we had like the air conditioner. We put it on full blast and we wanted to see like if we could like get the blades just right and make it spin. And like that was a moment for both of us when this like creativity and this like fun clicked in. So yeah.
Was that season two?
It was the first season.
First season? When was the windmill? Wow.
That's like, I think I remember the windmill because it was, I like haven't watched honestly like any of them, but I remember the windmill from the trailers for sure. That was like used over and over again. I think what's really cool about, well, first of all, like AFOLs are crotchety. So like whenever there's like any change, like there's going to be like a negative reaction. Like I'm not surprised there. But when Sans was working at the Lego store, it was mostly families would come in all the time and be like, you know, we watched Lego Masters together. And then he noticed like, you know, there was always like that one parent or two parents or whatever who were like a little bit more like, you know, the kid would go on the one side of the store and then the parent would start like looking at the icon wall. You know what I mean? And it would just like slowly bring them in. And if you were like any kind of like savvy salesperson, you like, you know, caught on to that immediately, which is like just the best. And yeah, it's so that's I think that's like. Honestly, I think that's probably the best reason to get back into the hobby is like you share this experience with your kid. And then my favorite is when parents go in so much harder than the kids do, though, like just aggressively, which is I don't know if that's the case with you, but
I know it is. I mean, don't get me wrong. My daughter, like she's all about friends, 100% friends. She's not about any other themes. And like she has like an entire city basically of friend stuff.
Heartlake City. Yeah, that's amazing.
Oh yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I do now have more Lego than her for sure.
That's honestly, as it should be, but you also can also like, you know, you'll always be a resource. She'll probably fade in and out of it. You know what I mean? Like,
mm-hmm.
And then come back. But as long as you don't get rid of her friend sets, you know, when she fades out.
Oh, yeah, no.
Tuck them away in a box or,
yep.
or use them for yourself. And then she's like, Mom, can I have them back? And absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah.
Yeah. That's
I'm
awesome.
I'm curious to see what would happen with that because, like, I do. It's kind of like. I've been talking to other parents who are like really heavily into Lego and then their kids are like either they're fans of it now, but then they'll fade out and then they'll come back. What like would they like, let's say if like the Lego Movie 2 was like a good like showcase of like dad passing on Lego to kid and then he never touched mm-hmm. it again. Like he went golfing and was never there. Right. And then all this collection just became the child's collection, which, you know, he destroyed between him and his sister into like this dystopia, and then there was this conflict, right? Whereas the sister also she had her own collection, so she built her own thing on like, you know,
she had Heart Lake City. Building. She had Heart Lake yeah. City too, yeah.
But like, it's gonna be interesting to see like when like will kids like will my son and my daughter will they take on this like when I start to fade out from like doing this hobby, or will they make it their own thing, or do they care because they're always around it? You know what I mean? Like, right. like I can see the stages with my own kids. Like, they both like Lego for what it is, but they're not diehards of it. Is it yeah. because they're always around it, or because they, you know, it's like they already have what other kids don't?
Your kids are pretty like, young though, right? Aren't they? Like, isn't it? It takes like a bit, I think, for like the human experience to become like a diehard of something. Do you know what mm-hmm. I feel like?
Well, yeah, exactly. So
yeah.
So I've been talking to like two other creators out there with older children. And they tell me that they're like, yeah, they come into it and then they do their own thing. And then they'll come in for like a little bit and then they do their own thing. But when their friends come over, then they all come inside the room and start destroying everything.
Of course.
And that's just what it is. But then like they'll never ask for a Lego, specific Lego set because they already know like dad's already going to get it.
I feel like it's because we as the parents like it. So they kind of see it as like our thing. You know what I'm saying? They're like, oh, that's dad's thing.
Dad's lame.
It's cool, but it's
yeah.
But do you think it would have been different though if like we weren't into it and they saw Lego fresh from their own eyes as opposed to
our it might be.
I have no idea. You know what I'm really worried about? Because like we don't have kids yet, and like, you know, knock on wood, everything works out and we have kids, but like neither one of our parents are like into buying crazy amounts of stuff or like really like indulging in like such an extreme way. And so we're like kind of concerned. We're like, how do we not create little monsters? Do you know what I mean? By like setting an example of like being able to like buy like whatever you want, whenever you want, kind of feel, you know, kind of attitude. And it's like, yeah. you know, granted there's obviously harder things about parenting than this concept of Lego, but you know, like, I think we're both like, how do we do that? Because it's, you know, I guess you just got to be good parents and instill values and be like, well, we're the adults. But I don't know. Does that really work, though?
I struggle with that. And I kind of screwed up a little bit with my son, Ezra. So he would see me buy Lego whenever I wanted. Right. And then mm-hmm. he would want stuff, too. And not always resonated with Lego. It was more like Jurassic World. Now it's Pokemon. And it became to the point where, like, if you wanted something, he'd shove a Lego into my hand. Every time we went to Target, so that way he can buy something too.
He was
so
I'm like, hey, hold on.
Yeah, so if I buy something, he can buy something. So, yeah, he was starting to manipulate me. But we had to be like, oh, wait. He thinks he can get whenever he wants. So
Daddy
we had
does to, that.
Yeah, we have to, yeah, because Daddy does that. But I had to roll back with buying stuff in front of him and explaining, like, this comes from somewhere. So if I buy this, that means we can't do this. And so, mm-hmm. you know, just kind of outweighing his own decision making, although he's like small and you can start a process, like, mm-hmm. I can buy these cards, but you're gonna miss out on B and C, mm-hmm. and or we can't do this because I'm spending this much money on that. So again, the concept of give and take, I think it's starting to resonate. And for the past like year and some change, when we started doing that, it wasn't how it was like a while ago during COVID time.
Well, one thing that we did with my daughter is that she had wanted, and this was when she was like first getting into like the bigger sets. She had wanted, I think it's like the mall, right? It has the mm-hmm. the little escalator and all that other stuff. And that was like the first expensive Lego set she wanted. And I said, look, I'll make you a deal. I said, you earn half of it and I'll match. whatever you earn towards it, you know. And we had ways that she could earn it, and we had this little, like, we took one of the small PAB cups and like put the set on there and like the amount she needed. Oh, and I had this play money that I had given her, so she could see like what, as she earned it, like what she was earning. And once she got halfway there, I said, okay, I'll match this and we can go get it. And I think that did give her a bit more of an appreciation of understanding that, you know, you do have to earn this thing. Mm-hmm. And even when I buy Lego and she's made a comment, you know, I tell her, like, I work really hard, you know, and I, you know, I've been saving and I put aside for this. You know, you may not have seen me doing that, but that was mm-hmm. something that I made the choice to do. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'll tell her, if you'd like something, you know, there's chores that you can earn money and stuff at, and you can save for it too.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's exactly. That's really good. I was in my head, I'm like, you know, maybe we like incentivize things like with grades or with chores or like whatever it is. But yeah, I mean, like the truth of the matter is like our habits are going to have to change. And
yeah.
And I think in the greater, I think this is a good point where we're going is like our habits are going to have to change on such a grander scale that like pulling back on Lego here and there is really minimal in terms of life transition.
Oh yeah. Your whole life changes and it literally changes overnight.
Right.
Just kind of thinking that it might happen naturally.
You're like, yeah. But you know what I mean though? Like, yeah. Oh, you mean like pulling back on it when you realize like how much like a stroller costs? Yeah. I think I know. It's like, what is this? Like, is this a boat? Like, what am I buying? Like, anyway,
why is it $800?
Well, yeah, because it was all my friends like registry, and I was like, why did she put this on here? You know, usually people put like clothes and like diapers and stuff. And she like put her, she put the stroller in the car seat. Like she's like going all out. Like the one where like you have the travel version because she wants to travel, and you have the one that's like at home. And then she wants a second. She's like, oh, well, I need to have multiple because like I want my mom to have one. And I was like, what?
The buying multiple does come in handy.
I objectively understand that because she can travel and like go see and stuff. And in my head, and like I would love to have that lifestyle as well. But that's like 10 grand on like strollers.
She's getting like the Rolls Royce of like strollers.
Basically, yeah, that's what she's
going to there. You know, get the Graco one where that multiple one just comes off the base.
That's what she wants. And I was like, this is. And then in my head, I was like, what is this industry that like I should have gone into? I love product design, mechanical engineering and stuff. And I was like, baby stuff? That's like money making.
Oh, like, my gosh. And so the thing is, too, they prey off your fear.
Yeah,
100%. They tell you, you need this thing or your baby is not going to be okay. Oh, like there's this onesie that like you put on that has these sensors, and on your phone, it'll let you know like if like the breathing is like not right and stuff.
Baby's having a seizure or something like that. Yeah. Well,
because there's, you know, there's stuff that can happen. Not anything happy to talk about, but you know, they prey on that fear that you have. And it's like, well, you need this type of blanket to wrap your kid in. Otherwise, you know, other ones aren't going to be safe. And it's just like, eventually you're like, this is all pointless.
You have to remind yourself that like,
round two, baby.
That didn't exist, but you know, we've been around for 10,000 years, you know, or something like that. But
it's not necessary whatsoever. Oh my gosh. But fast forwarding though, not to get out of the baby talk, but like I do get happy though when my kids want a Lego set.
Oh well, yeah. I'm saying no to. I'll be honest.
Like, oh, you want to go to a Lego store? I guess. And they go in there. We split ways. They go to their little sections. I can still see them, hear them. And I just stand over there by the black wall, and then
nice.
And when they want something, and my wife is like, oh gosh, and I'm like, well, I could buy this. I justify reasons to buy it for them. And although when I do buy them sets, whether earned or not, mm-hmm. I do get like great joy watching them build it. Like I don't get involved at all. Like I don't build it. I know it's not mine. It's not
going to have their experience.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're watching them literally put things together. And sometimes it deviates, you know, like it does, they don't stick to what the set is. They'll like start and they'll change it up, or they'll build the whole thing, break it down. Like, you know, for most fans, like they want to keep the set whole and intact, and like just watching like children, like do that but then like say, I don't want this like this anymore, and then completely do something new, exactly what Lego intends, is a good grounding moment of what the hobby is.
I think it depends on the child, though. Yeah. I mean, like, hey, some of us were a little manic from the beginning in terms of keeping
you never broke down your sets.
Manic is not the right word. What?
You never broke down your sets as a kid?
I did a little bit, honestly. Like, I was pretty. I really like displaying things like from an early age, that, you know, like I liked keeping things like tidy from a pretty early age. Yeah.
It's good to know you don't leave
that. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like if we had a little bit more, if my parents like really knew what that actually meant, things would be different. You know, it's a different time back then, but no, there's
I didn't have Lego as a kid.
Yeah, I mean, it's expensive. I think I had two sets, I think, and I kept them. It was like one was a boat and one was an Islander set, which I like just put together last week because, you know, we're having like some people over and I was like, this is a great conversation starter. and then
Lego.
Yeah, I think that's really cool. I am really curious though, like, is it important to like make Lego precious? And I think that's a whole like separate conversation. You know what I mean? Because I think adults make it precious quite a bit. And I don't know if I don't know how
important. Well, okay, so for you though, as a kid, like you kept it together. Did you see it that way?
I did because I didn't have a lot of it, and it was like something I like desired deeply. I have.
Did you play with it?
Like an engineering brain.
Or did you just display it as a kid?
So girls play very differently than boys do. These are generalizations. Do you know what I mean? And so like I would play with it, but it wasn't like the same playing, like kind of displaying and putting the minifigures like in, you know, like in the set and like having them like look like they're behaving a certain way. That is playing. You know what I mean? I just like wasn't, you know, slamming them together, you know, as though they were fighting. Like, and then I had a lot of Barbie. That was like, I don't know, I got a lot of Barbie, which makes sense from, you know, 25 years of like body positivity that I've had to do essentially on myself. But like I had a ton of Barbie and I was I loved it, and I would take my Barbies and I would like change their outfits and like display them and like put them in the house and then display that, and like the playing was like creating a scene, right? And then you enjoy the scene and then you change the scene. You know, like that was my playing. I don't know, like Amberlai, how you're
experienced. So actually, so that's exactly me. Because I'm a software engineer. Actually, I'm a software engineering manager. So, and I didn't know that was like, you know, like what that meant. But for example, I didn't have Barbie to start with, and the neighborhood kids, the girls, like they wanted to play Barbie. And I would spend my time, like I would find things around the house and I would build up their house. My mom used to sew. I used to take material. I'd make their dresses and then I was done. I didn't want to act anything out. Like that's not for me whatsoever. And it's so funny to watch the contrast with my daughter, because like for me, the Lego set, it's the building part that's so much fun. For her, she wants to get it built because she wants to tell stories. And I mean, she will go on and on. I mean, the insane adventures that happen in Heart Lake City are just amazing. She'll want me to play with her. And I don't know what to do. I'm just like, hi, I'm Emma. Like, what do I do now? Like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, you have to just like mirror somebody else or something like that. It's like
exactly.
Yeah.
No, like, I don't know how to do this.
Yeah. It's. I think like. Yeah, I remember there was this one. I can't remember. We lived in England for like 4 or 5 years, and I don't know if it's like common in the U.S., but there was this one toy, and it was like all horse based. She had like tons of horses and tons of like. They weren't Barbies, but they looked kind of like, and they were all equestrians. Oh my gosh. Hello. Hi, little bottom.
I have cats.
Yeah.
In case you were wondering.
Mine's meowing at the door right now. And she would play like that. She would play like your daughter. And I would sit and I would just like organize the stable. And I loved it. I just think it's so funny, and now I understand like why my mom was like, no, I'm not buying you American Girl dolls, you're just gonna dress them up and like display them, you're not gonna like take it around and do anything. And she was smart, she bought me like a knockoff, it was called Magic Attic, it was great. And honestly, like she had like a like a feather boa and like a sparkly dress, which I identified with like a lot more later because I thought that was more fun. But she, yeah, I think it's really interesting how, yeah, I'm an architect and like very, very compulsive in certain ways. And so it makes sense that that's like how I played. But I think if someone else had seen it, like if someone was used to like how your daughter plays or probably how Ezra or Asha, I'd like, you know, Ninja, I don't know how your kids play with the Lego when they did, but I think if someone had expected that and had seen me playing with it, they would have been like, oh, she doesn't enjoy it that much. Let's not buy her more. And I've never really talked to my parents about it because like my mom passed away and she was really the one that was like aware of like my playing habits. My dad like worked all the time and like he got to know me when I was like 13. So like, you know, it's, I don't know, maybe that's why we didn't have, you know, that much Lego, because like the, maybe the way I operated with it was like not seemingly fun, you know, just like.
I get it.
So I don't know.
Well, now you have as much Lego as you want.
Now I've gone overboard and I'm concerned about my future children that don't exist. Yeah. So,
I mean, it's a joy to watch your kids play anything. I really like sometimes, like when I can hear my kids playing, even when they're playing by themselves, like it's really interesting when I listen to them play with each other. But when they're by themselves, like, do you ever like just kind of creep and just listen in what they're doing? It's really entertaining. Like just watch them play with, you know, with whatever they have. Like, but when it comes to Lego, to watch them role play with it, it's like, it's very heartwarming because it's very innocent. It's different. It's like, there's no, like, it's Lego for what Lego is.
Yeah.
It's not, nothing more than that.
I remember like very distinctly, like when she, because my daughter just comes up with these amazing stories, and a lot of times they have like really sad backstories, like where like the parents have died, and I'm oh my gosh. But for example, we had a police station that we were playing with, and you know, it has like, it comes with the little robber person who breaks out, and she makes the story where like the robbers and the police come together, and they're like, and he's like, I know I did, you know, what I did was bad and I shouldn't have robbed. And the police, the little police guys are like, oh, that's okay. You know, we understand people make mistakes, and they live in harmony then after that. Like she can't have the conflict go on. She has to resolve it. And I think it's very sweet that she wants everybody to get along.
That's really cute.
Yeah,
it like warms my heart. Oh my gosh, I'm gonna start crying. I'm weak now. Sorry.
I feel you.
Stoic. I used to be a very stoic, macho man before my children, and now I'm like really soft.
Break that wall down.
And I enjoy this. I prefer this much better, and I criticize myself for like you know, my 20 years before of just trying to be hard.
Well, you're probably always like this, and you were just
hiding.
Shoving it in a box, you know, a little bit, you know,
reserving it.
I remember watching Inside Out not long after my daughter was born, and my husband and I were blubbering. We're just like, we're making core memories with her.
Hopefully she can reach the ball.
I honestly think that's like, I've heard so many parents that's like the number one thing that they've taken from that movie.
Yeah.
And then like to the point that like when they're, you know, they take the kid to Disneyland or they like create like a, you know, holiday tradition, they just like, you know, look at each other and they're like, core memory.
Yes. Yes.
So is very cute.
So Venus was like, do you think our kids are gonna remember this? Like when we take them out to Disneyland or all these trips that we've been doing? And I'm like, do you remember anything when you were 2 or 5? And she was like, not really. I'm like, do you remember why you don't remember? Do you remember anything at all? And she's like, well, we were kind of moving around and doing all that stuff. I'm like, so you do remember stuff. But has your parents ever taken you anywhere where it's like this? Like, it's like all focused on your imagination, creativity, or just being happy. And she can't recall anything like that. Whereas I can, because my parents have done, you know, has given me things like that. And they're snippets.
I remember. Yeah. I remember.
So there are moments when they do remember. And I tell them, like, look, you might not think they might remember, but they do. And
well,
they
will. In all fairness, when it came to, like, you know, because people asked when she was little and we would take her to Disneyland and stuff. And I would say, this isn't for her. This is for me. This is a memory I'm going to carry. I'm going to remember. Yeah. Yeah, when she runs up to Tigger and gives him a huge hug. Like, yeah. That's something for, it's for me. It's fine that's if she doesn't remember this moment. It's something I can remember.
Yeah.
I wonder, like, psychology-wise, if you were, like, that one moment, right? I know it's, like, seared in your brain, but if you would have taken a photo of it and then showed her immediately afterwards of her hugging Tigger, and then immediate, like in repetition over the years, continue showing, hey, do you remember this moment? The memory will stay fresh in her head and doesn't get into a gray ball where it just gets
it kind of does. My parents did that with this one when we went to Japan for the first time. It was like this very big trip. It was a big deal. My dad was already there because he was there for business. And then my mom and I met him from, you know, we flew from the Bay Area. And I think it was a very difficult flight for my mom. And I don't know how, but there's like a photo of me sleeping, you know, on the plane. And so, and I saw that quite regularly. And then also like photos of when we stood in line and to see a panda that was like in a cage in a park. I mean, this is like the 80s, you guys. So like, so like it's a different time. And, yeah, like I remember that, and it was, and I think it's because we had those photos around a lot, but it doesn't even matter. Even if the kids don't remember it, it's still like part of their development. You know what I mean? Yeah, and it's like, you know, your daughter running to Tigger, that is like quite fearless for a little kid to do that. You know what I mean? It's like, and I didn't go to Disneyland. I think I was like, until I was like 6 or 7 for the first time. And that's still pretty early. Like a lot of people don't get to go until way later. And I was afraid of the big plushies at that point because I hadn't seen them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like the big plushies. You like how that's how my brain like thinks with them, the characters.
I was thinking actual plushies. Oh my
goodness. That's like how my brain works. It's like it's just a big version of what I have at home. And like,
well, yeah, it is.
These ones move and they hug you and give you a hug.
I know, but I don't think I was young enough to like see them. But Sans, because of how he's wired, even when he saw them when he was little, he immediately knew that they weren't the character. And I think like I think it was a little heartbreaking for him.
Aww.
He's like, that's not Samuel L. Jackson. That's not like, you know, you recognize that it wasn't the actor or whatever, but I have to ask myself like how old he was when he realized that, but he's also not the standard individual. So I think,
well, Ezra figured it out, and it's kind of sucks.
Yeah, but also like, okay, so I don't, okay, so I, okay, I don't know. You guys tell me here. I was raised Jewish, and there's like this bit when you're a Jewish little kid, it's like a big secret that you have from your non-Jewish friends that Santa's not real. And your parents, if your parents are good, they're like, don't you dare tell your other friends, like, let them enjoy it. Let them enjoy this experience. And you're like, are they stupid? And like, no, they're not stupid. It's just like their culture. And you know, that's
very, very perfect.
Yeah. But you know what I mean? Like, it's just like, you kind of like have this, it's fine. It's okay. Like if you know, I still have like wonder and creativity, even though like I didn't believe in Santa, you know what I mean? And it's, so it's, I don't be sad about it. It's okay. Like,
oh no, it was just that notion where like, there was a moment where like he knew all those things were real, like that, like he believed in it. And I was just like, whatever. And then like this, it may have been because we took him to Disney and he freaked out all the time. But like when we went to go take pictures with the Easter Bunny, he was like, I don't want to take a picture with a stranger. So like in my mind, I'm like, okay, good. You don't want to take a picture with a stranger. But I'm like, well, it's the Easter Bunny. He's like, no, it's someone inside a costume. And I'm like, who told you this? And then we're like, okay, well, let's take a picture because Luna wants to take a photo. And then he was about to say it. I'm like, no, shh. Uh-oh. You need to like not say that out loud. Let her enjoy it. And he's like, fine. And then when we went to go take a picture with the Easter Bunny, he was all cool taking a picture with the Easter Bunny, and Luna was freaking out. So I'm like, oh gosh, we can't win. So yeah, we have one of those awkward awkward photos with the Easter Bunny where they're like freaking out, like,
Yeah, those are the best ones. Those are great. That's like my daughter's first picture with Santa. She's running away crying.
Best ones.
Yeah.
I love those photos. I mean, the great,
she's, you know, the blur.
Photos, but the ones where they're like running around. It's the best.
Yeah. Oh, I have a very traumatic story about like the Easter Bunny and Santa from my childhood. So from the beginning, it was like, no, we're not, I'm not, I'm like, I'm not lying to her. I'm not going to tell her that. And so, but we did have the conversation, like, your friends might believe, in fact, your cousins might believe.
Yeah.
So, you know, we let them have their belief, but yeah, like we never did that.
Honestly, I think it's like, I think there's a lot of value in that, because you kind of learn really early on that people have different belief systems than you, and it's like totally okay. And like, that's especially, I, that was really important to my parents. They're refugees. They lived in like basically a war torn country for their development years, and they were friends with people of like completely different backgrounds. And so, and that was like really important to them, you know, and they were like, you know, you have to respect it. You have to respect what people think, even though, like, you know, it's cockamamie for what we believe in. It's like, it doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. It doesn't make them any lesser. And I think there's a lot there, because, but you know, I think a lot of parents also really want to relive their memories with that. And it's like, if you had a negative experience, like, you know, there was no way that you would have, I mean, of course there was a way, but it would have been very difficult, I think, for you to like watch her do that, not have your own, you know what I mean? Like, and And so I think a lot of parents are like, they have their good memories with their family, and so they want to relive them. And then I think it's, a lot of it is a disappointment, which is like the pressure of the holidays, especially, like, you know, getting that perfect photo, getting like the perfect present. Like, my dad detests Christmas because of that, because he like thinks people, you know, put too much pressure on themselves and they spend money they don't have. And then it's like, you know, especially on like moms, like putting together this like perfect holiday. I think, like, you know, you see these parents at Target just like just losing it, you know, and it's like December, you know, 19th, and they're like, you know, in panic mode, like, you know, stress, sweating and stuff like that. So
yeah,
I think there's a lot of value in not creating that environment.
Yes.
Stress-free environment during the holidays.
Yeah. Yes.
No.
But so Amberlia, we kind of went in like a huge tangent, which actually relates to itself. So you're technically like the voice of reason in a group of people called Good Morning Brick World. I remember you coming into this space, like commenting in the chat, and you know, you already had your avatar of your face, so everyone kind of knew that you were who you were. And then you started popping up randomly. What was the story arc until getting to that point of because there was obviously a development in trust and coming out.
And it did happen quick. You know, so I got into Lego, you know, I had found this whole community, this whole idea of adult fans of Lego. And I was like, okay, wow, no, there's this whole thing. And, you know, I started watching people's live streams. And I remember being in a Good Morning Brick World, like, live stream in the chat. And all of a sudden, you know, Brick Hive is like, oh, well, hi. And I actually had a different username at that time. And so he called me out, and I was like, oh my gosh. Oh my God. They saw me. Like, I wanted to turn everything off. I was just trying to be like a little lurking here. But it was my very first time that I had like that interaction with the community. And, I started going to his streams, very specifically Good Morning Brick World. And then there's this wonderful AFOL who, I think doesn't get enough credit for just how wonderful and welcoming he is. And that's Zisu. And I remember every time I came into chat, he would say hello to me every single time and made me feel welcome. And then other people started saying hi to me, and I started to get more comfortable being in chat and chatting with people. And I really wanted to be part of this community. And I was like, how can I be part of it? And I saw people were doing like building streams and things like that. But honestly, being a woman, it can be a little challenging because, you know, there can be an expectation of how we should look, you know, on camera and things like that. And so it's really easy to get behind, you know, I can't just like get up, get in front of the desk and start doing stuff. And then I was watching a Callie Brick click, and Claire was talking a bit about her journey and how she had, you know, had gotten to a place where, you know, because makeup's a big thing for women, right? And you had talked about that there was a point where you're like, you're just going to come on and be you, you know, and you're not going to worry about, you know, whether or not you're like made up and things like that. And honestly, that inspired me to start live streaming. So just so you know, like that was where I was like, oh my gosh, I can do this. It's totally okay. Cause I like makeup. I think it's fun, but I do it for me. And I do it like when I have extra time and when like I want to get a little zen moment and play with some color, but I don't do it every day. And I didn't want that kind of pressure. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times on my stream, you know, I've worked all day and I just pop on and I've got my hair in a ponytail. I got my glasses on and everything. And I don't, you know, I don't worry about, you know, how do I look now? Mind you, there are times I'm just like, oh my God, I looked terrible. Or like, look at my hair and stuff. Yeah. And, but slowly, but surely I've gotten more comfortable with that. Mm-hmm. So that's how I started streaming. And then, not long after my first couple of streams, I got a message from Brickhive and he asked if I wanted to be a guest on Good Morning Brick World. And this was the first time that people were going to like really experience me, you know, to a larger audience. Cause I mean, my very first YouTube stream was actually the 72 hour stream that that happens in the community. That was my first time. And so I had a few people there, but this was going to be a much bigger audience. And I just had such a great time. And anytime there was anything he asked for help or mentioned that he needed help with, I would message him on Instagram and can I help with this and that? Because I really loved how welcoming the community was. And I wanted to be a part of that. And I'd been a guest maybe two other times. Or no, I'd been a guest again. And then I was asked to come back as a co-host after, like they were doing guest co-hosts when TJ was in school. And, you know, I did that a couple times. And he had a conversation with me and was like, I'd love for you to like be part of the group. And I was just so excited to be a part of that because one of the reasons I wanted to be part of the community, number one, you know, being a woman, you know, be offering that, oops, sorry about that. But, you know, being out there, people seeing, you know, women as part of the community, I think it's really important for representation and things like that. And also I loved that it was so community related. And I wanted to be part of raising other people up and interacting with them and making them feel seen. Like when it came to celebrations, you know, I would go out and every time I'd hear about somebody's celebration, oh, I got 250 subscribers. Oh my gosh, we need to celebrate that. I mean, it's great when people like Holly and Emily, you know, they reach like 100,000 and all that great stuff. But I think it's really important that the smaller YouTubers, you know, the ones that are, or even Instagram, especially, you know, I started celebrating Instagram followers and I wanted to make sure that that community was being acknowledged and those small little milestones got celebrated. So that has been my favorite part about being part of Good Morning Brick World.
That's awesome. That's like, so I think also like we didn't have that, you know, I think it's really important to have, like, you know, you're bringing so much to the space, which is like incredible. And then also recognizing, I think like the importance of having established like women on screen. I think there's like a really, and it's not just for girls, other girls watching. It's not just for other women. I think, to be totally frank, I think it's really important for the majority of the men in the community to like actually be around that because there is a very diverse Lego community, but the majority does skew a certain way. And I think that it is like the best way ever how like just you know, what is it, exposure therapy essentially is what we're doing, you know, in like a way. And I think that's really key. And honestly, like, you're not the first, by the way, to say to me like the whole makeup thing, like how it kind of changed your perspective of like how you approached live streaming and stuff. And you know, I waver hard on that. Like the second Shai started doing the clips
whoops,
because I was like going back and re-looking and re-seeing, and I was like, the problem is like he'll clip and I'm like looking away, or you know, I've got my finger up my nose, or I don't know what I'm doing. And because it's like, you know, we're here for an hour plus, and you know, I'm fidgety and so, or whatever, and it's hard for me to focus like on one specific thing and like at the camera the whole time. And then so I started like feeling insecure again. I was like, I need to.
Oh my bad! You should have said something.
I don't need to say anything. I mean, well, it's just the ebb and flow of life. Do you know what I mean? It's like and like how you view yourself and stuff. And it's like you don't stop life. You don't stop like, you know, content for being made because you feel like a dodo. Like there's no, it's, do you know what I mean? You just kind of like barrel through in whatever way you can. And like, whether that means like putting on some makeup or, you know, going and getting facials again, because you're like, oh my God, I look haggard. And it's like, and but you know, honestly, like when I saw that, I was like, I hadn't checked in with myself for like a little bit. You know what I mean? It's not that I like needed to wear makeup, but it was like, hey, you haven't, you know, done the things that make you feel good and make you feel awake. And so that was it, that, and that's like so much more complex than putting on makeup. That's like, you know, waking up in the morning, making sure you get morning sun, you know, like working out, trying to get your heart rate up, eating more like iron, you know, like all these things. And like, you know, taking my Brazil nuts in the morning for psyllium. Anyway, we can get all into that later, but I was doing all that stuff and like, I wasn't doing all that stuff. And so that was like a check-in. So like the makeup, it's kind of related to all of that, you know, especially if it's like a creative outlet for yourself. And it was never like an insecurity thing, but like you have to like, it's, I feel like it's work. It's like work for your entire life to like be like, you know, I'm feeling great. I'm not. I'm feeling great. And you're just like constantly doing that. And I don't think it ever goes away. I think it's I think men still have to 100% do that as well. Like, you know, all genders need to have this experience. But I do think that it's a little bit more elevated, or a lot more elevated for women. I think like the target is like a lot, like or the spotlight is definitely on women to look a certain way. And yeah. And on social media, particularly, especially like, you know, whatever age and whatever gender and whatever you are, it's like there's an expectation. So anyway, I'm so happy you're here. This is awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, also like, so having women around the community has done so much more, because we were kind of talking about this a little bit like earlier, where if it was just men on the chat, it can get a little bro-y. And then, you know, there's definitely a different demeanor when a woman is present. Like things you say, things you do, things you like. That's at least for me and in the crowds that I hang out with. Like, hey, dude, you don't say that in front of a, like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you know what I mean? It becomes very like bar-like and can get aggressive. So when there's a woman in there, and not to say that this behavior shouldn't only be when women are around, but it kind of puts us in perspective, like what we're saying when we're saying it, as opposed to just letting it freely come out of our thoughts. You know what I mean? So having you on Good Morning Brick World is a good like balance to just having three dudes talk in a chat, you know, or like
two dudes in a whatnot.
Same thing. Like, you know, it's good, you know, like to have a woman presence to not only give that perspective, but also like make us think about what we're about to say before we say it. You know, this didn't really hit me until like in the Marine Corps. Cause I, when I was in the Marines, women weren't allowed to be in combat related immediate roles, right? When I left, women were starting to become like are available to like be a part of the infantry, be a part of artillery, be a part of direct combat situations. So my friends who are currently still in, when I left, they were in higher leadership roles. Like I had a leadership, mm-hmm. we all had leadership roles, but now they're like, you have 150 Marines and more to take care of as opposed to the 30 that we had. So when women were starting to come around, there was like all these deep like briefs where, hey, agents, we can't talk like this. We can't say this. We can't say women Marines. You can't make these type of jokes. We have, you know, like, so that way, because there was the whole demeanor of how and culture of how we were allowed to speak on the opposite sex or any gender that came around. So, but when women were starting to be integrated, like those type of talks had to be implemented, and like just to prevent anything bad from happening. So there was a shift in mindset that was not easy to like cross over. But if me now were to walk into one of those units today where that's been implemented the entire time before the new Marine were to get there, it's a totally different hearing, conversation that I'm hearing, as opposed to when I was in talking about or being around women, like, if that makes sense. So like there was a shift, there was a little friction upon the shift, but now it's like the norm to treat everybody how you would if they were present, as opposed to talking behind them, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, and in all fairness, I mean, I would hope that there wasn't this idea of, oh, well, there's a woman here, so I have to act differently. What I'm hoping is that the idea here is that there's more diverse people, and it's time for us to, you know, when we're having conversations, consider the diversity of yes. people, and maybe not be stuck in our own little world, because you know, I certainly don't want anybody to feel like, because I'm in the room, like they can't be themselves, right? They're like, mm-hmm. like, oh, well, I can't say this word or that word or,
but that also comes with growth though. So like if these three, like if us two, I'll leave them clear out. If Ninja and I were used to like speaking a certain way and we're completely ignorant of how to talk to the person or being aware of someone's culture, obviously we would be respectful, hopefully, but then you coming along and then kind of like checking us where we need to be checked, educating us where we need to be educated, it becomes a norm, and then we evolve with how things, you know, to make everybody more feel like
yes. My hope is that my presence there is a growth opportunity, because I don't ever want people to feel like they're stifled because I'm there. Like that's mm-hmm. that's definitely not a feeling I want people to have. But yes, ideally growth and understanding the diversity of people, you know, in general. And you know, so because even as a woman, I mean, I have a lot of different things that I'm into. I mean, I have an engineering brain, you know, I like to play video games, you know, and things like that. And so I don't want there to be a stereotype around like what it means to be a woman exactly. But again,
there's more than one. What?
You know, but again, just who I am and just understanding that there are different perspectives. And I obviously do come with the experience of what it's like when expectations and things are put on you because of whether it's your race or your gender or any of those things. So I do come with that experience too.
Sorry about that. I feel like I missed something really special, which you know. From your
you're gonna have to replay it, Claire, if you want to listen to exactly what we were talking about. No, we were talking about how, like, so to recap what that conversation was, is that I look at the Lego space as 4 years ago there were very minimal female presence, right? And there was a way of talking, there was a way of acting, there was a way of behavior that didn't really include other genders. And there was, and if you were going to relate this to my own experience with the Marine mm-hmm. Corps, where I was, there were no women, zero. Mm-hmm. Like, they weren't allowed to be where we were. And then they were all of a sudden, night and day, flipped, and we can allow women. So there was already a culture of behavior, perception of, you know, how female Marines are, or WWMs is how we called them back then, women Marines. And then we had to be literally sat down, or we had to sit down with the younger Marines and be like, hey, we can't say this, we can't do that. You have to be mindful. We can't make these type of jokes, blah, blah, blah. And I feel like that there was somewhat, it wasn't loud like the Marine Corps, obviously, on the Lego space, but there was some, you know, this is just a bro moment. And you saw it when you went to Virginia, right? There's a bunch of teenage boys and their behavior is like very specific, and you get it because that's what they're around. But like having mm-hmm. women having exposure to anything different from what you're used to, it's not an easy transition, but it does help to be educated and not no longer ignorant to the fact that these people are not gonna allow this type of behavior to continue if you were to behave in a certain way. So having more women in here, it kind of helps. You know what I mean? It helps.
Yeah. I think that's a little narrow-minded. I'm gonna like call you out on this, because I don't think how do I put this delicately? Because you are out. Very well intentioned, and I appreciate the well intention. I'll recognize that. But the thing is, it's not.
It's fine.
It's not the exposure to women. It's not being around women. It's not. And then, like, I think the perception of being like, I need to like change my behavior because I can't say this around other people. That is mm-hmm. objectively flawed in like a really. Maybe this is where I came in. Amberlia, when you were like, I don't want to stifle anybody. And so no one should be stifled, and no one should be And I think it's also presumptuous to assume that your own gender is wanting to for you to behave a specific way as well. And there's this like this approach of like pack mentality, you know, that happens in large groups of people, men or women or mixed genders or whatever it is, that people start behaving a certain way. And so like it's not because the women that are there that there's a problem with the behavior, it's there's a problem with the behavior. And then what it does is it creates tropes and stereotypes, and like people are products of said behavior regardless of like who's around it. And it's kind of like a it's like a, does that make more sense? Do you know?
No, so to rebuttal that, I don't think you heard this part. Okay. Was if I were to go back to that same unit, we were having those talks and debriefs about how what not to say, it doesn't feel like they're holding back. It's just normal. Like they're exposed. Because everybody's already around each other, there is a certain behavior that's accepted. There's behavior that's not accepted. That there is no, it doesn't feel like people are holding back and behaving like specifically towards that gender or that person or that race.
Right.
It's just normal because of growth. Like I learned to not do this and say things. Like if I were to say inappropriate things,
yeah,
we personally didn't think it was inappropriate, but if you were to tell me that it is, we might go back and forth. But it becomes norm.
Right. There's a conscious. But that's what happens in like group behavior, right? Or it's like, you know, when people get together and stuff, and it's, you know, it takes time, I think, for people to realize what that impact does, you know, because people come out of those environments behaving a certain way and they're problematic in for so many different reasons, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying you're problematic or anything like that, but like it shouldn't have taken you having a daughter to be like conscious of like the female experience. Do you know what I mean? And it's like, and granted, you had you were like whatever your environment was with like the Marines and college and your childhood and stuff like that, but like you were around Venus since like you were 14 years old. You know what I mean? And it's like, and you were around a single mom your whole life, right? And so like you were exposed to some pretty strong, not necessarily strong, but you know, you were exposed to women, right? But it's like because of the societal attitude that was in, you know, that existed when we were teenagers, it wasn't really like wasn't modernized, you know, people it like we still lived in, and we still do, but we still lived in a society where you didn't need to think about other people. You know what I mean? It was like, anyway, my whole point is that I think it's a lot of it is like a lot of people are really well-intentioned, particularly in the Lego community in terms of like being inclusive. And that's like a wonderful thing. But I think a lot of people still don't know what that means and are like how to do that. And, and it's like one step is to do it with the opposite gender, with like, you know, the opposite majority gender. And then we're not there. I don't think we're there yet with from the majority of the community. I don't think we're there beyond that really much more. I think we're like talking about mental health, but we're not conscious of mental health. Do you know what I mean? It's like we're like, oh, yeah, Lego is good. But like, you know, we're not identifying how it's good and like the different like types of, you know, neurodivergent people or like the different, you know, the different personality types and stuff like that. So we're, and I think it's slow growing, and like, I don't think we should expect like people to change overnight. Absolutely not. But it's, I think having these conversations, and like, I really like having Callie Bricklick in this space, because I think if people want to hear like a different perspective and don't just want to hear a review, they like come here, and then we have different guests that, you know, encourage different conversation. But you know, there's a lot more growth that can be had. And I think a lot of us, I'm going to like just finish my soapbox here. A lot of us look to Lego to kind of like stem that. And unfortunately, the way that they're doing it now, you know, through friends and through their like diversity characters and stuff, I unfortunately don't think it's hitting the masses the way that I think we want it to. I think like, unfortunately, the groups of people that we want to kind of like maybe change their minds a little bit isn't accepting it. But at the same time, maybe that's not why they're doing it. Maybe they're doing it so that the few that get to enjoy it can actually enjoy it more. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like change doesn't always happen to change people. It change happens to include people, right? It's, I know. Anyway, my whole point is I think it would be cool if Lego like recognized the diversity in its adult audience, I think, a little bit more rather than, but you know, it's a kid's product at the end of the day. So I don't know.
You know, one thing I would say is that, I try to have the idea of a growth mindset for everybody. Mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And that's, it's something, you know, I push with my daughter. We don't like to say smart or things like that, that seem like a finite thing, and that there's always room to grow and to learn and to be, you know, be exposed to new and different experiences and ideas. And that's really what I hope to bring to Good Morning Brick World is a different experience, you know, as being a parent with a small child, you know, that is a different experience to bring, you know, and it's not just because I'm a mom, right? You notice I said parent, and just kind of express like how does my experience with that affect, you know, Lego and things like that. And sharing it with my daughter and things. So that is my main goal, is to hopefully help people to grow and learn and get more exposure to mm-hmm. different ideas and experiences.
Yeah. Like what else are, that's a lot, you know, you're like, that's my only thing. That's a lot. Like, it's not, you know, like, what are you going to like change everybody's like from their entire like upbringing? You know, that's a big, yeah. it's a big deal, I think, to like have that. And it's cool to have more of it. You know, there's a lot of, there are a lot of, parents in the community, and, they, I think, bring a unique experience as well, which is really cool. And there's a lot of teenage boys in the community, and they have their experience, and a lot of us don't need to be exposed to that. No, but I mean, like, no, it's, you know, not to shut them out, but you know, most of them, I don't think listen to this podcast.
No,
but,
no.
Yeah.
but there is,
about to find out.
No, but like, I remember being a teenage boy and I was dumb. So I can only imagine what a group of them together can be.
100%.
You know what I mean? It's,
I love that you said dumb right after Emberly. It's like, you know, it's so we don't taste dumb and smart. And I was like, wow, that's like really,
well, I mean, awful. But that way of thinking continued into my future way of thinking until I was a parent. Like, you know, yeah. I was around a bunch of men. I was only, I was around a lot of women when I was in my actual civilian work life. But like, you know, when I got back to just being around men, that like whole way of, you know, thinking just shifted back. It wasn't like like a learned behavior to always be that way. You know? Yeah. Like that. So, you know, it's good to have women and mothers check us. I'm just saying, it's entirely.
It's also good to have men in your life that make.
Get oh yeah, that happens too.
That's important. Yeah,
there's more. There's not that many.
Yeah.
That yeah, will, you know, I was gonna say that because you know being a female engineering manager doesn't happen often, especially in the tech industry. And, you know, I used to be, or I'm fairly involved in like women in tech initiatives and things like that. And I remember having, you know, men say, well, can I go to these like meetings and stuff? And I would tell them, I was like, we need you to go to these meetings. Like, we can lift each other up all day, but what we really need are allies lifting us up. So we do need it. So it's important that the story doesn't just come from women, that women need to be in tech. It needs to come from the men too. They need to be saying, we need more women in these positions and we need more women to get involved in tech and things like that.
Yeah. Because unfortunately, a lot of the people that, you know, you want to change your mindset, they're not listening to women. They never have listened to women. They're never going to listen to women unless like another man tells them. And it's in architecture, there's like, there is a certain like there's a type of person that tends to be a developer and a type of person that tends to be a contractor. And then there are, and they tend to look a certain way, and then their favorite architects tend to look exactly the same way as them. And so it becomes a little bit, you know, self-fulfilling, right? It's like, it's this cup that fills itself, if you were to take that metaphor how you wish. But essentially, like, and to break that is very, very difficult. And honestly, like, the only way that I've seen that being broken and those habits being broken is when, let's say, an architect who looks like and behaves like the developer and the contractor, like, brings in and lifts up another woman, because other, like, and it is unfortunate but it is, I don't know, maybe I am just of the generation that's how I've seen success with it, rather than just like brute force head first. And it like it sucks and I don't like it, but unfortunately that is the way that that's had to work. And then you slowly change the mindset, and then those said people are like, oh wow, this person is actually more organized. This person is actually like quicker and faster and able to multitask. So weird. And it's like, then you, instead of reacting to that kind of commentary, you have to kind of like put your head down a little bit, and it sucks. But it's also like slowly changing these like middle-aged dudes in their 50s a little bit, you know, and you got to be like, I'll take it, you know, like whatever it is, I'll take it. And I think, like, you know, there's a lot of people now that that kind of want to like totally take a metaphorical dump on a specific generation and gender and be like, you know, all our problems are like with that. And I'm not arguing that at all. I just think that if those same problems exist with said group of people, like, they're not going to react well to being demoralized, since their egos are already so fragile. I don't know if that makes any sense. Like, and so I think it is important to like have a very positive, not positive, sorry, have a very open mind when you're with people that are not like you. And that is, I mean that for everybody, like, you know what I mean? And I think the Lego community has a really good way of like kind of checking you, because so many people are involved in it that are completely from different silos, from different parts of the country, from different parts of the world. And it's like easy to get caught up in your stratosphere of like whatever academic background or work background or like socioeconomic background, whatever that is, you can get wrapped up in it. And I think Lego has broken that for a lot of us, which is really good.
Yeah, true.
Totally agree.
Yeah.
Side tangent, relatable. I just want to bring up the Marine Corps again, just because I want to. So recently,
it's like within experience.
This is not my experience. This is actually new, which it's kind of relatable. So there's two boot camps for the Marine Corps. There's Parris Island, which is the East Coast, and there's a depot here in the West Coast. So depending on where you live in the United States, you go to one or the other. The women Marines only came out of the East Coast. Right, that's where they all went. Recently, they have integrated, and the Marine Corps is the last one to do this for the boot camp. All the other branches had co-ed, you know, boot camps. Marine Corps was very, very strict with wanting to keep gender separate, specifically because of sex. Like, not because of, you know, biological, how you feel. It's specifically to eliminate that, you know, that exchange. But forced handily by Congress, we were told to kind of like, no, that mentality needs to shift. So they ended up doing it, and they kind of took a different approach to where, like, all right, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this completely to kind of benefit everybody. So now we have co-ed boot camps both sides, and Marines are now getting, this could be like a, you know, secondary, hey, cool. Male Marines are now being yelled at and destroyed by female drill instructors. So immediately you are seeing that it's not, oh, we're separating the power structure between male and female. Like, if we're going to the fleet and I have a female staff sergeant, a female lieutenant, I look at her differently as opposed to a male lieutenant or a male staff sergeant, whatever it is. You can see that gender is no longer relevant. It's the rank now that I have to respect, because you see it from the very, very beginning in boot camp when, you know, a female staff sergeant is like literally ripping you off your bed and then throwing you across the room. Like,
that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's so also like, yeah, I think the military gender role stuff is like really complicated, to be totally honest. Oh, very, I think very, there's like a very, like, the psychology in terms of like training groups of men and women is like not for normal society. Do you know what I mean? And it's intentionally as such, because you're essentially creating a machine or an animal. Mm-hmm. And in some cases, you know, I don't know. I think it is very, very complicated. And I think,
oh, yeah,
like,
oh yeah. But the mental shift, like, and like I said, was trying to bring up earlier, was, yeah, if I were to go into the Marine Corps today, the culture of how we viewed women is not like how I did, or when we did, is not there. It's completely almost eradicated. They can do it. As long as you keep up, we can do this. Let's go. It doesn't matter who you are, what you look like, and what, you know, biologically what you are. It's literally, let's just, we have would task A to do, task B to finish, and task C to get to. Can we do it?
Has this new implementation been around? Just curious, like long enough to see like the impacts, whether positive or negative, like on.
I think the Air Force and like other branches have
shown it to be positive, right?
And the Marines were the hard headed ones. So
right, but the Marines operate in a different way, yeah, though. Like their role is different.
Okay, so in combat,
yeah,
it doesn't matter what you are, because bullets come down the same way. You know, it doesn't matter. And in reality, if you're to think of the most extreme cases where it comes down to physical strength, it's always come down to working with your strengths and weaknesses. So I could have a male who's weak at AF, mm-hmm. and he's holding us back, and then you could have a female who can kind of pull in this, like, I know you can't pull him. We're pinned down. Point the rifle that way and give us cover fire while you're playing to strengths and weaknesses. It doesn't matter like if you're a woman or you're a man, if you're a man, like it's really that type of stuff. Oh no. What? we kind of went there, but I'm just saying, like, yes, I know the Marine Corps is kind of like, we're the most hesitant ones, but I see the benefits of it.
That's cool. That's really cool. Because I didn't know if it'd been around enough to like any.
So Iraq and Afghanistan were perfect cases for
examples.
When we would get ambushed, it honestly just didn't matter. You know, like we were all the same, and women have come out strong. Like, you know, they're able to hold out their own. Like, you see their medals on their chest. Like,
so weird.
It's like,
I'm joking, by the way.
Yeah. When we bring up, so I recently went to a Marine Corps ball, thanks to another Lego creator, Justin. He took me there, and this is an infantry ball, right? It's like the most gung-ho out of everybody. And if you were to go back 10 years ago, there were no women. Women were like the arm on the shoulder. Now I'm looking at women leaders in this unit, like lieutenants who are like responsible for an entire platoon worth of these like amphibious assault vehicles and tanks and 30 Marines that literally their sole purpose is to close with and destroy the enemy. That's their job. Like, they're not supporting anybody. They're literally leading. So women are in this unit leading from the front. And there is no animosity. There's all but respect. And it really comes down to no longer what a woman is and what a man is. It's that rank on that like position that you have. Mm-hmm. And they only see it as such. And to see it from a grunt unit, which is the most like type of unit in the entire Marine Corps, it shows and a good representation of what the Marine Corps is now. So if a community like the Marine Corps can flip on its head to accept literally at this point everyone, like, Lego shouldn't be that far away if it isn't already. But we were also force handed it. So
I sort of have a bit of a similar experience, but obviously from the female side. When I was younger, I took martial arts, and I got my black belt as a teenager.
Absolutely.
And I was asked by my instructor if I would be a teacher and teach. So at like the age of 16, I had like my very first job, and I was working as, you know, an instructor. And again, this is very much about rank, like the belt that you're wearing, and that like just having the black belt should afford you a certain amount of respect. But I would come up with scenarios where there would be some people who were like, I want to spar with you, because they were like, oh, well, she's a girl. Like, it didn't matter that I had the black belt. She's a girl. And I mean, I very specifically remember kicking somebody like across the studio into the bleachers, you know, the area there, just to get like that kind of respect. But ideally, it should be about the rank that you've earned, right? That you've got there. And there shouldn't be an idea that, well, the standards were, and this can happen, the standards were lowered because she's a female, you know, like maybe they let her get by to get that belt and things like that.
Wow. Another, all right, you're on the list of people that I need backup with.
this is how.
Oh, I don't remember any of it.
I was going to say, yeah, that's how Shy operates through life. He's like, in emergency situations, Always.
Always. Always.
Well, I think we're coming at a good place, and we didn't really get to talk about everything, so that means we probably might have to ask you to come back. So
I would be more than happy. So
so before we roll out, is there anything you want to like plug, or are there any goals you have with your channel? Like what do we have looking forward to you?
Yeah, I mean, so the interesting thing, I guess, about myself, like as a YouTuber, is I'm not necessarily looking to grow, right? I like the idea of having a small, intimate community of people because I like on my streams to interact with everybody. You know, I try to read every single comment, and you know, I'm not looking to make money at this. I have a fabulous, wonderful job that, you know, I adore. So this isn't something I'm looking to make money at, but I just want to interact with the community. I want it to be that intimate environment. And then, like I said, on Good Morning Brick World, that's where, you know, I want to do most of my work to raise people up. So that is my big set of goals and things. So if I could plug anything, it would be Good Morning Brick World. And also to everybody out there, like if you've reached a milestone, if it's you got 100 subscribers for the first time, or you have like 100 even on Instagram, something like, reach out to us. We want to celebrate you. We want to talk about, you know, your achievements and things like that. So please just reach out.
No milestone is too small.
Mm-mm. Exactly.
All right, Andrea, I think it's time.
Oh, yeah. I mean, with all that being said, we could just roll that music.
Have a good one, guys. Peace. Wow. That was tense.